It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We learn how to interview our elders, like grandparents, parents, our aunties, all witnesses to the past, with tips from an anthropologist. Join a conversation about sharing your experiences or questions about interviewing elderly family members, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Elizabeth Keating is professor of anthropology at the University of Texas at Austin. Her latest book is called The Essential Questions: Interview Your Family to Uncover Stories and Bridge Generations. Elizabeth, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, and it's a real pleasure to be here today.
We thought it would be appropriate to acknowledge the fact that we are interviewing you about interviewing. And so let's talk about the opening question, because it is, you know, after all, our first question to you. But seriously, I mean, you give such a great explainer on how to open these conversations with an elder. Can you explain your strategy about the first question?
Yes, Kate. Well, it's really important when sitting down to interview someone who maybe isn't used to being interviewed. I must say myself, I haven't done an enormous number of interviews either, is to make them feel comfortable that they are going to be able to give you the information that you're really seeking. So sometimes our grandparents, when we sit down to interview them or other elders, they're concerned that maybe their lives are too ordinary, or they won't really have anything of note to tell us. But it's precisely the ordinary everyday life that we're interested in hearing about. And that's what I've designed the book around, is around gaining information about the world that our grandparents grew up in, the world that formed them. And so to start out the interview, I have a set of pretty easy questions to answer, such as, where did they grow up and how many siblings do they have? Is there a story around their naming, for example? I've heard some fun stories from different people I've interviewed about how they got their name, what the significance of their name is. So these are easy questions for people to get them used to the format of being asked a question and answering. And then the first question is really a very broad question about the home that they grew up in, which really does elicit some very, very fun and interesting stories about all kinds of everyday life that went on when they were children. And there are other ways that one can facilitate an interview that I also can mention too.
What is it, though, that about ordinary life that is so important to understanding these elders and these loved ones who have lived in a different time?
It's really ordinary life that we miss when it's gone. It's ordinary life that gives us a picture of a history and a time that we don't get from history books. People who are living their own ordinary life might think that it's really just the same as everyone else's ordinary life, but each person has a different idea of what normal is. And certainly what ordinary is has changed quite a lot over the generations. Anthropologists have always been interested in ordinary life. And ordinary life isn't what you get from making a family tree, for example. So what we're getting here is a sense of being able to put ourselves into the world that our grandparent is telling us about as they give us details to answer the different topic questions in the book, details about very important aspects of everyday life. What were everyday interactions like? What was their sense of time like? How were they socialized, or how were they raised as children?
You interviewed your mother before she passed in 2014, but then you came to realize that there were many questions that you had wished you'd asked her. Why do people not ask the right questions of loved ones in time?
That's a very good question, and it's exactly the question that I asked myself and what led to doing research on what the right questions would be. So after I lost my mother, I realized that even though I had interviewed her a few years before she died, at that point, I had only asked her about people in the family that she knew better than I did. Because of my father's job, we moved away from most of the family. But I didn't know what I didn't know. So I only asked her about things I'd already heard about. But there was a whole world that I'll never know about now that concerned the times that she grew up in and what it was that made her who she was, which of course influenced who I was. So I started interviewing older people to develop a set of questions. I'm an anthropologist, and I used anthropology to help me to understand how to get a view of a culture, how to get a view of a person, maybe a person we think we know, but we don't really know very much about them outside of their role of mother or their role of grandparent. If we're fortunate, they're always focusing on us when we're together, asking us questions, especially like over the holidays. How are things going? How's the job? How are the kids? And we very rarely get to talk about the past with them.
We're learning how to talk with relatives about their past and their lives. Elizabeth Keating, author of The Essential Questions, anthropology professor at the University of Texas at Austin. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Mike is here from Shell Lake. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm just, I guess what I mentioned to your call screener, you may want to be careful when judging up the past for some people. It can be very, very difficult. I mean, my grandfather went through the Depression and World War II and the Korean War, and he didn't want to speak anything about it. I mean, he worked in the garden all, I knew he was working in the garden his whole life. That's all he did. I said, don't you want to go anywhere? He said, the last time I went anywhere, it was ugly. And that's all he ever spoke of. Times weren't always good like they are now and since the baby boomers age.
Mike, that is so important to bring up. And Elizabeth, can you focus on that and about talking about really difficult things like war? Go ahead.
Yes, that's an excellent point. And my father also never talked about World War II. And many of the fathers of my students, I gave this project to my students over the past few years at the University of Texas, Austin, because I was having such an amazing time learning about the past that I didn't want them to miss out on interviewing their grandparents. And they really loved the project, and it was very moving for them and the grandparents. And some of them also said that there were certain topics, I think war is a good example, that their grandfather didn't want to talk about. But in the way the 13 topics are structured, they're really structured around things like how they were brought up as children, what their beliefs were, what were they afraid of as children, what was clothing like, what sort of dress did their parents insist that they wear. Some people were really influenced by the amount of money their family had in terms of whether they had any choice in clothing. I asked questions about identity and about the home that they grew up in. So there's plenty to talk about. And the person that's being interviewed has a lot of choice in what they would like to talk about. So the opening questions of each topic are really broad questions that allow a person to be in control of the narrative, if you will. They can choose how to answer the question, what to talk about and what not to talk about. And you're right, some of these elders have lived through some very, very difficult times. I talked to many people of grandparent age who grew up in the UK and told me about the bombing. So one person, for example, told me that she knew the particular sound of a type of bomb that would come overhead. And when that would come overhead, she would think, oh God, surely not on me. And so you did hear about people's experiences during war, if that's what they chose to talk about. But certainly you wouldn't want anyone to get into territory that is too traumatic for them, to really be revisiting with you. But there are so many, many topics that can be discussed besides those particular experiences of an older person. But you're absolutely right. It is very important to be sensitive towards people's difficult pasts.
And those traumas. UT Austin anthropology professor Elizabeth Keating, our guide to taking down family histories and having deep, meaningful interviews with an older family member. Be part of this by sharing the questions you've asked and what they've brought up. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What a pleasure to have anthropologist Elizabeth Keating here, author of The Essential Questions. We're exploring how to have meaningful conversations with family members. Call in with what happened when you sat down to interview an elder. 800-642-1234. And University of Texas at Austin anthropology professor Elizabeth Keating stays with us. Let's bring on Mark in Green Bay. Mark, what has come up for you in terms of interviews?
I was listening to your program, and I'm 72 years old. My daughter is 36. I have a son who just turned 30 or might be 31. Anyway, I think I may have overcompensated. I have told them every story I can ever think of. I've told them a story about my parents, things I wished I had have asked my parents, and to almost redundancy. And it's kind of humorous. They know all my stories. Every once in a while, I come up with something new. But that was an urge in me to say, hey, you know, I don't want my kids to feel the way I do, that I wasn't able to ask. And it's almost like I've overcompensated for it.
Mark, what is their reaction when you tell them a story?
Well, they're always open, and generally they let me tell them the story again that I've told them for years. And they listen. I've been a performer most of my life, and they find it entertaining, I think, still.
Thank you for calling. Elizabeth, what is your reaction to Mark saying, look, I've been an open book to my children?
I would say your children are very lucky because they, and as you say, your goal was that they wouldn't have the experience that you had where there were things that you wish you'd asked your parents and grandparents. So that's wonderful that you've been passing on that family legacy to them.
What are some of the preparations and the tools of the trade, if you will? How should people prepare to do these interviews? Or are there any specific, things that are helpful to have as they prepare to have this conversation?
The most important thing is to approach the interview as an anthropologist would. That's my main contribution in the book, is to set aside the common roles of daughter or of granddaughter or grandson, and to interview your grandparent as, or your parent as, a person who you don't really know that well and you'd like to find out more about. Because the essence of anthropology is that we try to understand the world from another person's point of view. So we suspend our own beliefs and our own responses and reactions and our value system to try to reach out towards the other person and, in fact, to step inside their shoes and to see the world as they saw it. It's a kind of open-mindedness it's a bit more than being open-minded. It's really an effort to be invited into their world as a participant.
I like how you framed it as being a curious listener, like paying attention and being appreciative of the person you're interviewing. But you also brought up silence. And I know silence is my pitfall. I sometimes don't allow a guest to have that space to pause and articulate and I step on their words? Or can you talk about silence and how it opens people up?
Yes, I think it's I have the same exact problem. And certainly the first couple of interviews I did, when I listened to the recording, I was horrified that I had stepped in a moment when they were clearly getting ready to tell me something that was related to my previous question. On the other hand, for you, Kate, you're not allowed to have any dead air. So I think you have
that is very kind
rationale than I did earlier. But yes, it's very important to honor people's silences in these interviews about their past, because often the past is being remembered in visual images, and it takes a little time to put those images into words. And also, it gives them a chance to be able to tell the story in the way that they want to tell it. But it's really hard because Americans have a very low tolerance for silence. In American culture, we think something might be wrong in the relationship if there's too much silence. So we rush in to fill it. Other cultures have no problem with long silences, but we're used to that being diagnostic of something that we should fix. So we have to work against that impulse. And one way to do that is to allow yourself to hear up to a 7-second silence and let the other person be the one to fill the silence first. It will be really rewarding.
Mm. Elizabeth Keating, anthropologist, the author of The Essential Questions, a guide to interviewing elderly relatives and friends about their lives. You can join in 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, what about writing down answers or jotting down notes in the moment? And you mentioned recordings. What about those technical aspects?
Yes, the technical aspects are very important, and everyone is so used to having technology as part of our communicative lives these days. It's very important to record these conversations because it's impossible to be writing notes about what someone just said at the same time focusing on being in the moment and listening to what they are saying. So recording is essential. And of course, things can go wrong with technology. Any teacher especially knows that. Anyone that uses technology in their work also. So it's a good idea to test things out. I usually use 2 recording devices because sometimes one doesn't work. And it's important to test out the recording devices beforehand. So check how far you can be from the recording device. Now you can use your mobile phone. They have excellent recording programs on them. But still you'll need to check to see that you're getting the best sound quality possible, because you're going to a lot of effort to make sure and preserve your family history, and you want to do the best quality job possible.
And I love how you say that transcribing your own interviews is this exercise, because you'll find additional riches. And oh gosh, that is just so true, to really know the interview, to transcribe it.
That's right. It's wonderful to hear their words again, mm-hmm. and to hear the stories again.
What can you do if someone is reluctant to be interviewed?
My experience with reluctance to be interviewed is often stemming from the fact that they feel that they don't have anything important to say, because an interview genre has a reputation for being something that, I don't know, celebrities partake in. But reassuring them that you really want to know about their early life, that you're very interested in what the world was like when they grew up. The more typical response is people are really happy to be asked and thrilled to be able to share what they know. Because older people, especially in America, they often aren't given much credibility for the experience and knowledge they have. And this is an opportunity for them to be in the center and to share what they know. But if people are reluctant, it's usually because they're worried that they won't help you in the way that they would like to. So reassuring them that whatever they have to tell you will be valued because it's part of your family is part of reassuring them.
Absolutely. The time is not wasted. The book is called The Essential Questions, and UT Austin anthropologist Elizabeth Keating has designed topics and questions that will lead us through a new understanding of the world our ancestors lived. Join in with your questions about interviewing elders or share your experiences doing this work, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The anthropologist-inspired questions in Elizabeth Keating's new book helps us know how to dig into the world that previous generations lived before we were born and took the spotlight. Join in by calling 800-642-1234. Your questions about interviewing elders, share your experiences, the surprises along the way. UT Austin anthropologist Elizabeth Keating's book is called The Essential Questions. Let's bring in Robin in Frankfort, Michigan. Robin, hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I just thought it was coincidental that last night we had our three grandsons, 11, 8, and 6, in the car. And being December 7th, we talked about Pearl Harbor, and I have the six-year-old is named for me as well as for my my father, and I'm also named for an uncle that was killed in that battle, racing to get a radio part to the his station to keep the ship afloat, and turned out that was successful, but he was killed, and also, because he was counted as a hero, he had a destroyer, the USS Eugene Earl Amick, named after him. Mm. And I think the boys had never heard those stories, and that we're all that several of us are named after.
And you had a captive young audience in
we as, did. In the car. We certainly were. Cars are good for that, for sure.
Elizabeth, what comes up here as talking with these young people in the car about these stories?
Well, that's such a moving story, Robin. I think that that's a good example of some of the stories that I heard in my interviews and that my students heard as well. So that's particularly touching about the name, carrying through the name to the different generations, but also surprising how it could be that that was something in your family that was known quite well, of course, at one time, but we often don't really realize that the younger generation doesn't know these stories and hasn't heard of them. And so it's really wonderful that you took that opportunity of the anniversary to make it personal and to show them some stories of courage from your own family.
Let's go to Harry in Manitowoc. Harry, hi.
Hi.
Yes, we can hear you. There's a little bit of sound in the background, but go ahead.
Okay. As a young man, and maybe not so young a man, I would talk with my grandparents, my great aunts and uncles, and ask them questions. And as they came to the end of their lives, they inundated me with photos, with obituaries, with immigrant papers, with all kinds of data that I got from both sides, my mom's side and dad's side. And when my mother and dad had passed away, I'm left here with boxes full of this memorabilia. Mm. So what I ended up doing was scanning it into the computer and starting with the immigrants, writing a biography of my mother and dad, and then had it found at Office Max and disseminated through my siblings and my children, and it has turned into, you know,
a family heirloom. Yes.
Yes.
Harry.
And then, of course. Yep.
Thank you so much for this. And Elizabeth, you know, taking those family artifacts, the, you know, the photos and the immigration papers, and really doing the work to bring it all together in a biography.
Yes, to make it into a story, because it's really the stories that people remember and the stories that make it personal and that fill out this family tree that you're able to preserve in your family. That's really wonderful that you organized it too, because a lot of us have boxes of photos, but we're not really sure who the people in the photos are anymore. And it's great to have that you've done that research and done the work to put it together in a nice binded, nice bound volume.
You suggest asking people about dating and courtship when they were young. Why ask about this?
Well, that turns out to be a very, very interesting question, because, of course, the traditions around dating and courtship have changed quite a bit. Also, the student population at the University of Texas is diverse, as are many universities and towns in America these days. And so some of their grandparents grew up in different parts of the world where the courtship and dating practices were very, very different. So it's an interesting time of our lives, isn't it? A kind of perilous time, really, where we're learning to inhabit different roles and make choices that can be really lifelong choices. And so it's a way of bridging the generations to talk about that time. There's also many humorous stories, and the stories about courtship and dating are really family stories, because because they're about kinship, and kinship is really one of the main topics that anthropologists have always been interested in. But you'll get some very fascinating details and realize how much things have changed over time.
Details that are a world away from online dating apps.
Yes, that's right.
Let's bring in Christina now in Glenwood City. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. I think another fun reason for interviewing a parent is what you might learn about yourself. So in my case, I interviewed my mom a few years ago when I was 62 years old, and I learned after all these years that I was born at home on the floor. She never made it to the hospital. So this is a funny story that I enjoy sharing with family and friends.
How did it make you feel about how you view your own mother?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just thought that is such a funny story. You should have shared that. And she and I, we've always been close, yet it never came up. So it took that interview to get this fun additional information about myself.
Oh, Christina, thank you for that. Elizabeth, it took a more formal setting to get at something that really touched Christina about her own life.
Yes, that's a perfect example of why these interviews can be so informative. We really don't know what we don't know until we start asking questions and until we give our grandparents and parents and other older family members the space to talk. In families, there's a lot of competition for space to talk during the holidays and at other times. And I mean that in the best sense, that lots of people have things to share. But giving someone the space to really fill out and to talk about things that they've never talked about before is really one of the great aspects of sitting down and doing an interview.
What about having that person explore regrets or mistakes they made in life? How do you tease out those tensions, those vulnerabilities?
Well, often these regrets are 20/20 hindsight, that is, looking back with the knowledge that a person didn't have back then but has now. So I try to encourage people not to look back in that way, but to give us a picture of what their childhood days were like. What did they do after school? How did they get to school? The regrets, yes, they certainly do come up. And yet at the same time, they can be a way to share empathy and compassion. In other words, it's much healthier, psychologists have told us, for children to share in the struggles and challenges of their elders. It gives them some confidence that they too will be able to persevere. Because imagine our grandparents and parents lived through fascinating times and had great challenges, and yet they persevered. And they might take this everyday courage for granted, but hearing about their struggles and regrets is one way to understand how really phenomenal they are as people.
Elizabeth Keating with us, author of The Essential Questions, anthropology professor at the University of Texas at Austin. Let's bring in Paula now in Madison. Paula, go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question regarding how we start these conversations. My children are in their 40s and 50s, but are pretty busy in life and are not ready to sit down and have them. But I think that later in life, they will have questions. Can we start these interviews with ourselves? Can we interview ourselves and get this information going? And how would we do that? My second question is, what if your ancestors or your family, grandparents, didn't have the most positive life? They may have had some criminal background history. Do you share that, how that affected your childhood? Because I certainly can read in local papers how it affected their outside world, but how did it affect their family? Those are my questions. Thank you
so much, Paula. Elizabeth?
Yes, Paula, I think that's an interesting idea to interview yourself. I hadn't thought about it. The one thing that I was trying to share with people was the moment of connection that I saw that my students were having with their grandparents and the way they were able to bridge the generation through these conversations and the experiences I had in hearing from people and learning myself as the interviewer about history. But it is, you're right, it's very important to record things when you have the motivation to do it, certainly. And so I would encourage you to record all of the memories and all of the information that you'd like to have remembered, and to take that project on would be wonderful. About the criminal backgrounds of some family members, this also can cover mental health issues that some families have experienced. And I think that here again, it's up to the person what they would like to share. And the focus is on ordinary life. So those times when they experience these difficulties and behavioral episodes, those would be part of the history of their childhood, but certainly not the whole story. Mm. And so one of the aspects of doing these interviews where people talk about space and time, in other words, what was an ordinary day like, social interactions, how they were socialized, what identities did they feel they have, at what moment did they feel this is who I am, how did they dress? How were they taught to move their body and body attitudes, kinship, marriage, material culture, fears? Those kinds of things are plenty of topics to talk about that wouldn't necessarily focus on that one period of time, but might even offer some support and to fill out some of the context of the choices that that individual made.
I love your idea of reflecting on the space they grew up in, or mobility, like how they were getting from point A to point B. I mean, those can be so revealing as well as you fill in their lives.
Yes, the question about the home is in a way a repository of culture, and it's where we first learn culture. When people talk about the home, all sorts of fascinating stories pour out. The way they came home and helped their mother with the washing, or the friends that came through the home, or the fact that they might have slept in their parents' bedroom and listened to their mother using the knitting machine at night. And the sounds and the sensory aspects of home really can recreate the past that's lost to us now without these accounts and descriptions.
Anthropologist Elizabeth Keating, still time to talk about interviewing elders, what you want to know or what you've learned through these interviews. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we probe the question, what things can you ask your parents or grandparents to get a better picture of the world, of the past? Join in by calling with your questions, your stories about interviewing elders, 800-642-1234. We have UT Austin anthropology professor and author of The Essential Questions, Elizabeth Keating, stays with us. Joan now is with us in Fond du Lac. Joan, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi. My husband passed away about 3.5 years ago, and for better or for worse, he was a real paper hoarder. And as I have been going through his papers over the last couple of years, I've learned so much about my husband that I never knew. Hmm. So I think this project could be a great, exercise for spouses to get to know each other and create a greater connection. Something that I wish I would have been able to do.
Joan, appreciate it. Oh, I really love that, Elizabeth, in knowing your spouse.
Yes, what an excellent idea, because people's childhood tells us so much about how the experiences that made them who they became.
Mm. Dale now in Waukesha. Dale, go ahead.
Good morning. I taught school for many years. I taught middle school, and I taught writing to eighth graders primarily, and I wanted them to have some ownership for what they were writing. I really wanted them to get involved, so I had them interview their grandparents, and they had to come up with questions and interview them and write about it, and we had some absolutely fascinating stories, and some of them, it was amazing to me how many of their grandparents or great-grandparents or immigrants who had come from Czechoslovakia or Russia or, Germany or Poland or Mexico. It was an amazing story that they told. And the family stories that got passed down were fascinating, too. And this one was especially interesting because it was this young, this eighth grader interviewed her grandparents. And they said that as children, they used to listen in on their parents' conversations. And as children, you don't quite understand all the context. You just hear what you hear. And her parents were very definitely Republican. And so they always talked about the awful Democrats. So one day they went to a picnic. And the parents said were talking among themselves that they thought it's the next picnic place over, there were some Republicans, or some Democrats. The family was Republican. So the children went and hid behind the bushes to look for the terrible, awful Democrats.
Hmm.
And when they realized, they looked up and they realized that the Democrats looked just like the Republicans. There was no difference whatsoever. Oh. And I just thought that was an amazing story. It was just a fun story to kind of for our times as well.
But yeah, we can learn from it. Yes, Dale, thank you. And, Elizabeth, this is a writing exercise that you can certainly identify with.
Yes, that's wonderful. The way that you mention how fascinating the students found the stories that they were told and how much that enriched their lives. Yes, that's a wonderful exercise for them.
So how have you seen these conversations affect the person being interviewed?
The students were very, very surprised at the hardships that some of the previous generations had faced, particularly in the 1920s and 1930s in Texas, and even beyond that. They were very, very surprised at things that their elders didn't have. And maybe they only had one pair of shoes, or maybe they had just quit school in the sixth grade to help on the farm. They were very, very surprised by those kinds of cultural differences, even within a short span of time, because by now their grandparents and elders certainly lived a very different life. And so they really had no idea about the lives of their childhoods. At the same time, these grandparents would say things like, "We had a great childhood. We roamed the fields and only had to be home when the dinner bell rang." And they shared that they had many, many wonderful experiences, even without electricity or with the hardship of farm chores. So it was a wonderful experience for the students to hear their elders' perspective on some of these challenging ways of life.
And I like how you look at these interviews as a dynamic journey that it can also really help build or maybe even mend relationships with family members.
That's right. Some of the students reported that they now felt more comfortable sharing more of their lives with their grandparents because they had seen that their grandparents also had experiences that were similar, even though in some ways they were different. There was a lot that they could share and find empathy across the generations.
We only have a few seconds left, but what should we do with these tapes, these documents, these interviews once they're done?
Be careful to make copies of them and store them safely. And of course, the transcripts are important too, because technology and digital storage is always changing.
Yeah.
But the paper copies will be more available and more accessible for some people, especially than the digital formats. But certainly backing everything up is important to save these precious memories.
Elizabeth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank everybody for their great questions. It's really wonderful to hear people's stories and to hear more about this important topic.
Elizabeth Keating, professor of anthropology at the University of Texas at Austin, author of The Essential Questions. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.